There was a time when Butte County in Northern California measured things in rushes. The Gold Rush in 1848, an agricultural boom that started 5 years later when Judge Joseph Lewis had an orange tree planted. The mother tree, as it came to be known, is still there. Now, this region models a different pace. In the state's primary last week, voters in the county cast 41,000 ballots. Only two were marked in person. Nearly all the rest came by mail. A week later, county election workers are still counting, as they are throughout the state. Critics say mail ballots undermined election integrity. But in the trickling, meticulous process of counting them, Keaton Denley sees the cultivation of a civic good. Talk to the average, reasonable person, the Butte County Registrar of Voters told our reporter Sophie Hills. They trust their local government for the most part. It's Tuesday, June 9th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The United States aims to strip citizenship of several alleged criminals. The Justice Department on Monday announced it had filed denaturalization cases against 17 people accused of crimes including fraud and sexual abuse of a minor. The department is working to ensure U.S. citizenship is granted to those who truly deserve it, said Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche. Stripping foreign-born Americans of citizenship isn't a simple process. The government must file actions in federal district court. As of 2023, just less than half of immigrants in the U.S. were naturalized citizens. In a speech to Spain's parliament, Pope Leo XIV urged ending divisive narratives. Leo's remarks called for management of migration flows while also addressing root causes that force people to leave. The leader of Spain's right-wing party, Vox, which opposed the left-leaning government's plan to grant amnesty to 500,000 undocumented migrants, joined the 7-minute standing ovation. The Pope had also championed conservative values such as strengthening the family unit. It was the first ever speech by a pope to the Congress of Deputies in Madrid. Also, an Indian shopkeeper was hailed for his unselfish efforts to help people escape a fire. On Wednesday, a blaze at a multi-story hotel in the Malviya Nugar neighborhood of Delhi killed 22 people. Rayajuddin Mansouri and his son dragged 22 new mattresses from their nearby store to create a cushioned landing for people leaping from the burning building. It enabled 12 people to jump to safety. The stock had been worth thousands of rupees. "I was only thinking about saving lives, not the losses," said Mr. Mansouri. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. President Donald Trump keeps saying that a Middle East peace deal is close at hand. But a new round of direct attacks between Israel and Iran raise questions about when and how this war will ultimately come to an end. Scott Peterson and Shoshana Solomon report from London and Tel Aviv, Israel, for The Monitor. California's primary was last Tuesday, yet votes are still being counted. Election officials chalk up the delay to the large number of ballots cast by mail and the extra time it takes to verify them. But some experts say the slow count can further undermine trust in elections. Sophie Hills reports from San Diego for The Monitor. Many predicted a rightward political shift in Peru's presidential runoff. But the statistically tied preliminary results underscore a deep polarization that reaches across the region. Howard LaFranchi reports for The Monitor. The FIFA World Cup always brings a host of issues with it, but between astronomical ticket prices, fierce competitors, and immigration enforcement worries, This year's edition seems to have more than its fair share of controversy. Mark Sappenfield and Sarah Matusik report for the Monitor. As heat waves intensify across India, air conditioners are shifting from an aspirational good to a survival tool, giving rise to a new AC rental market in major cities. What does it take to stay cool in Delhi? Contributor Akash Hassan reports from New Delhi for the Monitor. In the mid-1600s, Maryland settlers pioneered a form of religious liberty, in part as a way to bring in more settlers. Their Toleration Act didn't last, but its spirit is present in America's founding documents. Scott Baldoff reports from St. Mary's City, Maryland, for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on Armenia's journey to redefine itself. Though smaller than most U.S. states, the landlocked nation of Armenia plays a key geopolitical role in the continental crossroads of Eurasia. With few natural resources, it is aiming to recalibrate regional and global relations and become a hub for international tech, finance, and transport services. So, its parliamentary elections Sunday have been of interest not just to next-door Azerbaijan and Turkey, but also to Iran, Russia, Europe, and the distant United States. The ruling Civil Contract Party garnered 49.8% of the votes, Reuters reported, while the two main opposition parties together took in 33.1%. The degree to which both sides can find some common ground will determine how fast and how far this former Soviet republic can move out of history's long shadow of ethnic conflict and external interference into an era of regional cooperation and progress. The memory of mass killings by Ottoman Turkish rulers some 110 years ago has fed persistent demands for global condemnation of those deaths as a genocide. More recently, the loss of lives and territory after three wars with Azerbaijan has compounded a sense of persecution and isolation. Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan, first elected in 2018 after he led nonviolent anti-corruption protests, has sought to reshape both politics and perceptions of identity. "The page of hatred should be turned," Mr. Pashinyan told supporters when he first took office. "The task, as he sees it, is not to restore a lost past, but to build a future-focused, real Armenia." Or realistic Armenia, as an analyst dubbed this approach, describing it to France 24 TV as exchanging traditional fears and resentment for more pragmatic policies. Mr. Pashinyan has pursued relations with Turkey, dropping genocide references, and peace with Azerbaijan, acknowledging its 2023 takeover of a disputed territory. To counter Russia's influence, he has strengthened ties with the West. Last August, Armenia and Azerbaijan agreed to work with the United States to build a transport corridor along Armenia's southern border, which adjoins Iran. Tehran is not pleased about U.S. involvement, but the route is expected to generate regional benefits by easing trade with Turkey and Central Asia. In May, Turkey's vice president attended a summit in Armenia. In April, Turkey's president acknowledged our shared pain over the violence of 1915 through 1917. There is talk of reopening borders. Both sides seem to be reaching for a way for people to live with memory rather than inside it. John Paul Rathbone of the Financial Times observed last week, hailing this peacemaking as a minor miracle in a troubled world. But Armenians have mixed feelings about the Peace for Land deal with Azerbaijan, with 44% supporting it and 41% opposed. And some still lean toward Russia, as evidenced by voter support for the two Moscow-aligned parties. The country's re-elected prime minister has urged Armenians to weave a civic identity that is disentangled from ethnicity and ideals left over from the past. This requires a change of thought, a readiness to leave old markers for new signposts. The only formula for being viable, Mr. Pashinyan has said, is through reflection, self-reflection, the ability to change and transform. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we direct our focus to what God, Spirit, is doing, we find we're equipped as His offspring to do good works. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.